This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood before them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Johanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell you two different thoughts were running through my head this week as I was thinking and praying about today's sermon. One of my wife Bonnie's favorite sayings is, "I don't always recognize a gift, but sometimes I do." And the other saying that occurred to me is attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. And St. Francis once said, "Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words." Both, I think, of those sayings apply on this Resurrection Day. Today, of all days, we give thanks for the gift of new life. Praise God. We give thanks for the new life of our risen Lord. We have this great gift of new life as promised to us in Scripture. And if that weren't enough, today we get to live that new life by celebrating the baptism of Tyvin, Kylie, and Colt Albertson. And if that weren't enough, we can rejoice in the gift of new life that came through Sienna Marie Engler, born to Joe and Calissa. They're with us today. She was born just Wednesday of this week. Amen. So now is where I need to pay attention to St. Francis of Assisi. I don't want words to get in the way of the real life proclamation of the gospel. Today, the gospel will mostly be proclaimed in the scripture we read, in the songs we sing, and in the spirit-filled rite of baptism. So this message is going to be shorter than normal. I just want to share with you briefly one thought from our gospel lesson today. As I read and reread it during the course of the week, my eyes kept being drawn to the words that the angels spoke to the women at the tomb. First of all, can you imagine what their state of mind must have been? I would guess that they would have had to be just distraught, dismayed, and just overwhelmed because their beloved teacher and friend, the one they thought would redeem Israel, had suffered and died by crucifixion. And even though they might have been in shock, they were determined to carry on the very best way they could by going back to the gravesite to attend to Jesus' body. And then we're told that once they get to the tomb, they find the stone rolled away and the tomb is empty. Our text says they were perplexed. On top of being numb and grief-stricken, now they're perplexed. What's happened to the body of Jesus? Well, before they can even figure that out, two angels in dazzling white appear, and now you can add terrified to the mix. I wonder if they even heard the question that the angel asked them. Why do you look for the living among the dead? That is a big question. I think it has real meaning for us today too. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Back in March 1995, Pope John Paul II accurately described the evils of what he called a widespread and growing culture of death that was taking hold in the world today. He noted that in the name of efficiency and economy and expediency, the value and dignity of human life is being diminished. I think deep down, we know this is true. Death and violence are prominent in the TV and movies that we watch, in the games we play. Whether we like it or not, whether we admit it or not, we live in a world where death seems to grab more attention than it should. The media mantra for today is, if it bleeds, it leads. The women at the tomb were looking for Jesus, but they were looking in the wrong place for him. They were looking for the living among the dead. It seems to me that we make that same mistake when we look for life in all the wrong places. We can cry and complain that death and violence seem just to permeate the culture around us, but you know what? It shouldn't surprise us. Why would we expect a culture that's becoming more and more secularized to affirm human life that's made in the image of God? Why do you look for the living among the dead? Truth is that if we let it, this world has the capacity just to suck us dry and squeeze life out of us. But there's more to life, real life, than just scratching out a living. There's more to life than just the accumulation of things. And I think to grasp the real grandeur, the real glory of life, and especially new life, on this Resurrection Sunday, I want us just to return very briefly to the cross. In Luke's Gospel, the very last words uttered by Jesus while he's on the cross are these. He says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." My spirit. See, Jesus knew, and he wants us to know, that there's more to life than just physical living. From the very first moment that Jesus began his ministry in Galilee, he committed his spirit to God. He was living for something bigger than just his human life. He resisted temptation in the wilderness. He endured agonies of the atonement and stayed true to his God-given mission. He didn't let the world define who he was or what he was living for. I'm going to suggest to you that as Jesus' followers, we can do the same thing. We can commit our spirits to the Father. And the gospel, the good news for us on this Resurrection Sunday, is that we don't have to be spiritual giants like Jesus or Mother Teresa or Billy Graham to commit our spirits to God. Because the good news for us is that Jesus did not die just for spiritual giants. He died for all people. The good news for us is that because Jesus was raised, all who are in Christ will be raised. Resurrection, real new life, isn't just for spiritual giants. It's for all of us who are in Christ. In our second lesson, Peter says, God shows no partiality. Everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness, receives new life in His name. And folks, this doesn't mean just some kind of new life for us in heaven after we die. It means new life, richer, fuller life here and now. Because you see, believing isn't just about some kind of head knowledge, isn't just some kind of intellectual acceptance of the idea that Jesus is Lord. When we commit our spirits to the Lord commits His Spirit, capital S Spirit, to us. With the help of God living in us, we're new creations. We're empowered to live kingdom lives, even if there is a culture of death all around us. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Life, real life, life with a purpose, kingdom life, is right here. Right here among the assembled people of God. God speaking through the prophet in Ezekiel chapter 34 says, I will put my spirit within you and you shall live. Not just exist, not just get by, but live. We really live when we're part of something bigger, older, and grander than ourselves. Brothers and sisters in Christ, human dignity and life blossoms within the community of believers. I believe it's true that if we look to the world for affirmation, more often than not, we're going to be disappointed. That's just the way the world works. But life within the church is different. And I'll be the first to admit that it's not perfect. I'm not saying it is. But I believe that more often than not, real living and real affirming connections are made within the community of faith. It comes with common purpose and living for something bigger than ourselves. And I don't want this to sound like somehow we're just keeping to ourselves, that we're trying to keep all this just for us. Martin Luther defined sin as being curved in on oneself. But we're not curved in on ourselves. We have Jesus as the model. Jesus died for the sake of the whole world. As His followers, the real life that we're blessed with and the joy that it brings is something that we just shouldn't keep to ourselves. This little outpost of the kingdom of God that we've carved out here in the Tooele Valley is not just for our own benefit. It's for the glory of God and for the sake of the world. Mountain of Faith gives us a base from which we can live kingdom lives and do kingdom work. So on this Resurrection Sunday, let's give thanks for that great gift of new life. Today, we're witnesses to new life through the sacrament of baptism. And it's my prayer that tomorrow and every day after that, that our lives would be a witness to the world very much in need. May our kingdom living bear witness to the fact that we live to serve a risen and living Lord, one who gave Himself for the sake of the world. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.